So today we continue with this season of favor, and last time we looked at this season of favor was a couple of weeks ago because we had a thing in between, and in part four we broke open God's will to restore, and we used the parable of the prodigal son, if you remember, or as I termed it, the son who desolated his inheritances, and we looked at some keys that God gives us for his restoration, his reassigning of those desolate areas in our lives and how we can respond to that. And so today, I want to talk about Thanksgiving brings joy. And if you pay attention to what I say and what Don said, you will see that we can't plan this stuff. He texted me early this morning, said he really feels on his heart that God wants us. And again, we don't know how to do this without God's help to actually live in an area of living supernaturally. And we will see through the sermon today how that pans out. And you know, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes when we talk about the supernatural, we sort of get all like airy-fairy in our heads. And we're looking for the supernatural, and what does that mean? Do I float 3 inches above the ground? And does it mean that someone's going to get out of a wheelchair today or blind eyes are open? Of course, that's all supernatural and those are miracles. But we have to also understand that when we live in Thanksgiving, we are living supernaturally. Because it's not a natural thing to be thankful all the time. I mean, the Johnson family have been very open and very transparent with, from time to time, what's going on in their lives. And I was just chatting with Kev a little bit earlier this morning. And, you know, sometimes if you understand, for them to live with thanksgiving in their hearts, that's not a natural thing. Every time something comes against you, you want to fight it or you want to beat it down or you want to get angry with God or you want to scream and shout and perform, but we actually also have to learn to live with thanksgiving in our hearts because it's not, doesn't come naturally. But the point is that also when we live with thanksgiving in our hearts, that will bring joy to us. Because I'm not talking about being happy in your head. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so when we live in this attitude of thanksgiving, we will see that it will bring joy to our lives. James 1:2 says, "My brethren," and I'm quoting from the New King James Version for this one, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And so when you fall into, and I love this version because sometimes we think when the trials, when you look at the Greek and you translate it, it also means temptations. And so when we look at it like this, we can say when you fall into, it's not like I have a step-by-step process for this trial to take place. It means when you fall into it, when you're plunged into it, including taken unawares. Man, I didn't see that coming. Did you see that? No, I didn't see that coming. Now we're facing this. When you're surrounded and there is no escape from it, when you fall into these trials, we have to understand they are designed to strengthen our faith. They are not me and nobody else and I'm feeling so bad about myself. They're designed to strengthen our faith. And other scriptures will say various temptations, but we have to learn, we have to practice counting it all joy. You know, how many times have you heard us say, if you're not feeling under attack from the enemy, it's probably because you're not doing anything right. Or you're just arbing along and just thinking, you know, I'm playing submarine Christian. I'm just undercover here and I'm sneaking through this whole thing. And I don't want anybody really to know that I'm a Christian and I don't actually want to even raise the subject. That's when you don't have trials and you're just like, dun, 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 carrying along. I know some of you like the sound effects, but it's okay. It says, count it all joy because it produces patience. Hurry up, God. We want to. What happens when you say, hurry up, God?
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, right. Nothing happens because he wants patience to do its work in us. When we carry on, we want to rejoice and step into the supernatural thanksgiving of living his life. So what I want to do is I want to look at a couple of examples this morning, and so we can start off looking at David when he was transformed from sinning into thanksgiving and restoration. And David writes the psalm after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged for her husband to be killed. Nice guy, David. A man after God's own heart. And we have to ask the question about that. So let's read Psalm 51:1. This is how he starts out. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David wasn't taking any chances. He was like, I'm going to cover all bases in this one. I want to dig deep. And he commences by revealing his heart to the Father. He says, have mercy on me, O God. And then he goes, the blot out my transgressions, wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now we have to understand that there are no degrees of sin, but there are levels of different kinds of sin. Transgression, iniquity, and sin. And because you asked so nicely, transgression is presumptuous sin. It's when you choose to break the law and rebel against the authorities, like when you speed in your car. I know. No one guilty here, I know. Iniquity is a premeditated choice, continually without repentance, when you choose to intentionally disobey. When you know it's sin, when you know it's wrong, but you ask, whatever, and you just do it. That's iniquities. And then sin, as we all know, is called, it's missing the mark. When you make bad choices, when you do bad stuff to other people, you also automatically are sinning against God. We have to also understand that sin in the whole fullness is stuff that you do to yourself. When I sin, maybe some of my sin impinges upon my family, but in actual fact, it's against me and against God first. The choices, the thoughts, the actions. And if you really, truly love Jesus, we want to minimize all that kind of stuff and not to do that. And then David goes on to write, and he talks about restoring the joy of salvation. And verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's very interesting. And make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for the shedding blood, O God, that of Bathsheba's husband. O God who saves, then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. This is a great turnaround, and David understanding, coming to the Father and asking him. Now, in his time of unconfessed sin, David felt the misery of spiritual defeat. The guilt he carried weighed him down, and that's why he writes the psalm. And he, having been rescued from God, and he says, return to me the joy of your salvation. And that is that's not God's salvation. We have to understand this. What it actually is understanding that there's nothing I can do for salvation. I can't earn salvation. It's a free gift of God to us because of what his son Jesus did on our behalf. We have to learn to just accept it and then live in it. A salvation given to us is a free gift. And then he goes on and says, I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. And what he's basically saying is, restore my favor with you. My mouth will praise you. Do you feel can you feel or see or the sense of the excitement in David's tone as he acknowledges God's goodness, his kindness, and his favor upon him? Have mercy on me, O God. Why are they so downcast, O heart? to restore to me the joy of your salvation. Thank you, Lord. My mouth will sing your praises. I will praise your name. I will give glory and honor to you, Lord God. Now, just for the exercise of this, I've given some other examples in Scripture. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, he writes this in Ephesians 5:15. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And someone mentioned that this morning, or we sang that. Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. Drunkenness is a sin. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great encouragement for us to walk wise. Don't be unwise. Make good choices. Don't make bad choices. Find out the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of the God is for us to live in glorious victory and the infilling, the filling, and the continued flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Giving thanks always. Get ready, it says, when you come to church or come to gather together here as a body of believers, come with a song in your heart. Come with a word of expression. Come with ready to bring a word or a psalm or a hymn. That's what Scripture says. And that's part of what we come. It's not like a consumerism time. This is time to give out. Come to be producers in the kingdom instead of consumers. We have to also understand that when we don't, and we live in religion, we live in law, it will reduce everything we have to the lowest common denominator. You come to jail, it's so boring. Yeah, you making it boring. Holy Spirit is not boring. Amen. God is not boring. Yeah. Jesus is not boring. Yeah. So where do we get the boring part from? Well, I don't know. Yes, you do. You know, sometimes when you ask a question, you know, why is it like that? Well, I don't know. No, you do know. You're just not brave enough to say it. I'm talking to myself this morning as well, so don't get all freaked out. Nehemiah the prophet was referenced in Nehemiah 12:27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. Man, have you listened to old-time music, in biblical music? It sounds to me often just like clanging of cymbals and banging and trumpets going off. It's like Bridget says she loves jazz. Not. You know that unsyncopated jazz where they all just sit down and they just do their thing? I know we, Ralph and Matt, you're into this stuff, so please don't take offense. But they just, none of it makes any sense. Dooby-dooby-dooby-booby-booby-booby, and someone else is there doing their thing. And over the, that's what the music in Bible times was like. It just seemed everybody was doing their own thing and was going. At least we have sort of coordinated type music today. Anyway, but the point is that they came to make a noise. And if you think church is going to be quiet, church is not meant to be quiet. And if you don't get that, when you get to heaven, you're going to go, oh, my word, it's just too loud here for me. Where do you think you're going to go to then? Exactly. Where we? Then I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two great choirs to give thanks. Verse 43, and they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. We have great choirs. One choir here, one choir here. We have musicians up here, and we want to make a great noise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to give thanksgiving and joy in the house. Thank you. And the women and the children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. It was a time of dedication, a worship service, a time of thanksgiving in spirit and in truth with pure hearts before the Lord. We want to always come with pure hearts. I'm suggesting that maybe get up 20 minutes or half an hour early every morning, get into the Word, get into some joy pattern, get into some scripture, get into some Word, so when you come here, you're all revved and ready to go. I know some of you know the story, but I'm going to tell it to you again. When we did Church Planters, we went to one of the churches and they gave us pictures of three leopards. And the one was a picture of a leopard in the dark. And it had these bluest of blue eyes you can imagine. And he said, "This is what the lead elder is like. He can see everything, even in the dark." And then, sorry, guys. And then he drew out another picture of a leopard sleeping in a tree. He says, "And this is what your other elders are like." And you can take it for you too. You come to church and your hair is like, you can see, man, you forgot to brush your hair this morning. And you didn't iron your shirt, you know, creased. He says, "That's what like some of you are like. You come, you still got the stain or the spit in your mouth here. You just woke up, you know." And then the point he was making wasn't about those two. He says, "You church planters." And then he had a picture of a leopard cub, and you could see it was like 20 days. Its eyes were still open. They weren't, you could see it. They were not focused. He says, "This is what you church planters are like. You won't even see the bullet coming." And we were like, "Oh, yeah," we felt so encouraged. But we want to come prepared with great joy in our hearts. A time of dedication with pure hearts. Loud time of noise with instruments. It was joyous, a tremendous time of joy and praise and thanksgiving for the whole family together. Not separated, together. Paul to the Thessalonians writes this, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Rejoice always." You know what that means in the Greek? Yeah, there you go. See, great Greek scholars already, eh? "Pray without ceasing." Do you know what that means? Pray without ceasing, all the time. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Find out what the will of God is. Here's the will of God for you if you didn't know. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Pray in all circumstances. "Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm going through such a tough time." Yeah, that's one of your circumstances right now. Tomorrow it'll be different. Tomorrow you'll get the breakthrough. Tomorrow you'll get the release. We don't just rejoice in happy things, but in sad times and sorrow times too. We learn, we practice to rejoice. We as followers of Christ, as Christians, can do that because our joy is not based in our circumstances. Because then we go back to the thing we've said don't do. We live off our feelings. "Well, I don't feel good. I don't feel this. I don't feel that." Word and spirit, truth in light coming into our lives. Pray, but in God, circumstances can change and they will change. God never changes. Isn't that encouraging? We don't give thanks for everything. We give thanks in everything. And so we recognize God's sovereign hand is in charge, and not blind fate or just chance that it's taking place. God has a plan, and we know his plans are what? To be good to us, to prosper us, because he is a good, good father. And we know we live in a fallen world, and some of the circumstances change, and sometimes we create those circumstances. And that's when you've got to stand in the mirror and go, "Yeah, I did this. Have mercy on me." Go back to Psalm 51. "Have mercy on me, O Lord." So, having said all that, what are the benefits of thanksgiving? Now, we have to understand, I've made a lot about joy because thanksgiving brings joy. And we have to understand that joy is the heavenly byproduct of thanksgiving. And when we live thanksgiving in the supernatural, we live supernaturally in thanksgiving all the time, joy will be our portion. Why? Because we will have victory in all the areas and we will know that nothing can get me down. And please, I'm not being unfeeling here. We have trials and tribulations in our life too. But you, the pastor, yes, I also live in a fallen world. I'm also human. I also have things of the flesh that I try and, I overcome. Number one, thanksgiving grounds us in our faith. Ephesians 5:16, we already read it, says, make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Well, gee, things are going wrong in this world today and we don't know what's going on. We just got to give up. No, no. Make the best of everything. Make the best use of time. Live wise. Don't live unwise because the days are evil. If you didn't know that, you know, sometimes I was talking to somebody the other day, and sometimes when you don't know the situation, you become anxious and you freak out. But when you know the situation, well, I'm wired that way, then we go, oh, okay, now I know that, now I know how to deal with it. Jesus! That's how we do deal with it. We walk as the unwise. If we keep thanksgiving at the fore in good and in bad situations, we will capture the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And that will keep our faith strong. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. When things aren't going so great for us, we got to learn to abound in thanksgiving. This is like in John 10:10, where it says that came to give abundant life. It not just gave life, abundant life. This is not just thanksgiving. This is abounding thanksgiving. And because of the way I'm wired, you know, I thought, have you ever seen that picture of Rue on that little pogo stick? Ding, ding, ding. That's what I saw. It's the picture that came into my head when I thought, abounding joy, abounding thanksgiving. Rue, ding, 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 ding. Nothing good. Anyway. There's a process in place, and we should dig into this process to ground our faith. Rue, for you, those who don't know what I'm talking about, is short for kangaroo. Okay. Not Paddington Bear, the other one? Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh and Roo. Yeah, well, the Brits got me anyway. Thanksgiving grows us spiritually. Colossians 1:28. How we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we must present ourselves, present everyone mature in Christ. There is a spiritual call for us to mature. We cannot remain the eternal babe in Christ. Feed me, Daddy, feed me. No, sometimes you got to now, okay, I've been fed, now I've got to feed somebody else. That was one of the points I made with fathers. There's some young men today that are here that are not even married yet. They're not ready to be that kind of a father, but they are spiritual fathers. Well, Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks at all circumstances. This is the will of God. I said that already. We're talking about developing and maturing, and I've said this before. The height of our offense will be measured by the depth of our maturity. The height of our offense will be measured by the depth of our maturity. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious. It's not like, you know, in Scripture, we'll talk more about this next week. There are imperatives and there are indicatives in Scripture. This is an imperative. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. All prayers should be kinds of prayers with thanksgiving. Not, Lord, you know how hard my life is. You know how tough it is for me today, Lord. This is so difficult for me, Lord. Lord, thank you for the trials I'm having today. Thank you, Lord, for the temptations that have come my way. The enemy, you're dead. You got no chance in this life. I'm thankful, Lord God, that you are alive. We sang it this morning. He is risen. I'm thankful that you are Jesus, that you are alive, that you are sitting next to the Father interceding for me. I am so thankful and grateful for that, Lord God. Give me your joy this morning, Lord. Whew. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Now, just give me a second here, please. Okay. All right, we're going to come back to that scripture again. I'll just, you know, sometimes when you think, I know I wrote that down, but it's disappeared off my page. No, you don't know what I'm talking about, but that's okay. All right, number three, thanksgiving glorifies God. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Lord, I want to glorify your name. When we come together, I can't wait for the service to start, because when I get there, we're going to sing and we're going to give praises to him, and I'm going to magnify your name, and I'm going to bring joy to you, Lord God, and I'm going to honor your name this morning. No. Do the arm test. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Psalm 50:23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. That's how straightforward you want it. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. When we know and receive these benefits from the Father, it helps us to dig deeper into thanksgiving. If you walk out of here today and go, yeah, well, that was nice for some people, but it wasn't for me, I want you to go home, sit down, switch on the TV, go to YouTube and listen to the sermon all over again, because you obviously didn't get it here. But we need to learn thanksgiving, live mature and living supernaturally in the realm of thanksgiving. With the thanksgiving and joy, we can be humble, we can live godly lives, we can receive his favor, we can live with peace and purveyors of the gospel. How so, you say? Well, I want to give you 5 keys to living supernaturally through thanksgiving. Number one, thanksgiving is the key to humility. In everything, stay humble. That was a wonderful thing that you did, and you said, oh yeah, no, it was Jesus in me. That's not humility. That's false humility. That's called pride. What we as Christians often, because I've heard that so many Christians do that all the time, and I did it one time as well, and I came to the revelation that all I have to learn to go is, thank you. Without trying to explain how spiritual I am, not. Thanksgiving is a huge key to humility. Psalm 116:17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. We give thanks to God as we humble ourselves before him under his mighty hand. We acknowledge that every good gift comes from him, and we should not have it if it's not for him. He gives it to us because we are his children. He gives it to us because he's a good, good father. He gives it to us because he's a great dad. He gives it to us because he wants to see his children flourish and grow and mature and believe and go out there and help other people. Amen. Refusal to give thanks is an act of pride. I thought I'd just slip that in there. Number two, thanksgiving is the key to godly living. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But, you know, whenever there's a but, it means just ignore everything I just said. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not be even named among you, as it is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Now, sometimes I don't, mostly guys, not girls, hey, do you want to hear a joke? And I know them a little bit, so I go, is this going to go south of the border or is this going to stay clean? And I look at their face, I go, yeah, no, I don't want to hear the joke. Because I know they don't know the answer, or they know the answer, but they don't know how to tell me. So I'm like, no, let's just keep that out there. When we look here, we see there are six things that are listed that are ungodly. And don't walk in this manner. Walk wise, don't walk as the unwise, which are out of place. But instead of that, let there be thanksgiving. Let us live with thanksgiving in our hearts. Let us change the way, the metanoia, change the way we think, change the way we speak, change the way we do things, that it honors God. A thankful person will avoid all those kinds of sins and many others and live godly lives instead. Number three, thanksgiving is the key to experience God's blessing. Now, we remember the parable of the 10 lepers, and we're just going to take an extract out of that in Luke 17:15. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God! Wow! Yeah, I think when we read it, we go, yeah, one of them came back and he said to Jesus, shouting, praise God, and he fell on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him. Man, we got to put a little passion in there. We got to look into the picture and see these 10 lepers. Jesus heals them, they go away, and one gets the revelation. He comes back. Do you think he's sort of like, I think Jesus was standing there laughing his head off. I think he was like, ha, ha, yeah, I got this. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Father. I think he was joyous about this, that this leper came back. He fell on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. I can't go into the history lesson, but if you know about Samaritans, good. Jesus asked him, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up, go, your faith has healed you. Now that stand up, go, your faith has healed you, is more than his physical healing. If you go and read, study the Greek, you'll see that word is sozo, which meant that he was healed, body, soul, and spirit. Everything was renewed. Everything was regenerated. His spirit man came alive again. He wasn't just physically. You know, Jesus healed more unsaved people than he did saved. I'll just drop that in there for you to think about. 10 were cleansed, but the one returned giving experience and received the blessing, the favor of God, body, soul, and spirit. Number 4, thanksgiving is the key that changes anxiety into peace. Now, in our day and age, a lot of people are here. I'm anxious about this, I'm anxious about that. I get anxious sometimes. Yes, I do. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious. I know we read it earlier, but this is what I was looking for. About anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Your minds, the playground of the devil. Did God really say? Hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, there's 3 things we have to understand about God's peace, especially those who suffer and tend to go towards anxiety and become anxious. 3 things are, 1, peace comes from God. True peace comes from God, nowhere else. It is his gift to us. Secondly, there is peace with God. Describes a relationship that we have with the Father. We enter into it through the finished work of the cross, through his son Jesus. And thirdly, the peace of God, which is completely outside our realm of mental gymnastics. It's beyond our power of thinking. What is that, the peace of God? Well, that is what it dwells with us when we understand that. Charles Spurgeon says, what is God's peace? The unruffled serenity of the infinity happy God, the eternal composure of the absolutely well-contented God. Anytime you find yourself anxious, stepping into anxiety, your remedy is thanksgiving. Yeah, that's easier said than done. I know. I used to suffer many, many years ago in a country, a long time ago in a faraway country. I suffered from depression. And the only time I realized I suffered from depression is when I gave it to Jesus and I came out of that depression and I looked back over my time and thought, you were like a little sad, depressed boy. But Jesus, thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you that I can talk about it. Thank you I don't have to hide it. Thank you that I don't have guilt about it. If we choose thanksgiving, it will turn your temptation and your trial into His peace. Peace with God, peace of God, peace from God. Number five, last one. Thanksgiving is the key to the revelation of the gospel. Excuse me. Romans 1:19. And it's quite lengthy, but the reason it's lengthy is for context. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Meaning, we don't have an excuse. You've heard many times, you've read in Scripture many times the goodness of God. You know His divine attributes. It's been preached from this pulpit many times. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Why is it so boring? Your foolish heart has become darkened. Why? Oh, heaven is like brass. Yeah, because you didn't honor God as God. Because if you honored God as God, you will know that there are no brass ceilings in heaven. We live under an open heaven. We don't have to fight demonic forces to get to God. Jesus came and tore the veil of the curtain from top to bottom so that we have entrance to God. And that hasn't changed since then. Are there demonic forces around? Of course there are. Please don't hear me say there aren't. There are. But we don't, people, oh, we got to get in, we got to go in. I don't even know if I should tell the story. So the family camp we just come back from, I'm going to anyway. We were like, okay. We arrived there. It was one of the first times we ever went there. And there was another group there ahead of us. And they were there. And we were sharing some dormitory rooms with them. And they had oil in their hands. And they were going around anointing the doors with oil. So we're like, sorry, what are you doing? It's my room. What are you doing? No, we're from wherever. And we decided that we have to get rid of all the evil spirits in this place. And so we're anointing the door handles to get rid of all the spirits, evil spirits. I'm going, okay. Don't put oil over my door handle, please. This is a family camp, Christian family camp. And so sometimes we can lose our marbles when it comes to the demonic. And now we can look for demons behind every bush. They're not there. But we have to also understand that we have to honor God as God. And claiming to be wise, they became fools, verse 22, verse 23, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Well, we do not keep the main thing. We understand who our Heavenly Father is, who His Son Jesus is, and who Holy Spirit is in our lives. And what we get to, we can get all messed up with all different directions. And when we keep that straight, we understand what we are going through. What is said here is those identified in this passage who refused to be thankful, even though they had a revelation of God. Their fate is sealed as their hearts are darkened. And if they'd been thankful instead, they would have received the gospel light of that darkness. The good news of Jesus Christ. Knowledge is of no use unless it leads to holy practices. It doesn't lead you to the good news. It doesn't lead you to the gospel of His grace. It doesn't lead you anywhere but, oh, woe is me, and there's just so many demons out there, and there's just thing, oh, I know God, but man, I'm going to follow the world. It doesn't matter what you think or what you know, unless it leads for you to glorify God through thanksgiving, it's not unhelpful. The fact is, the one who rejects the truth of God and Jesus will fall for anything foolish and trust far more feeble and fanciful systems than what he rejects from God. As one of my mom's sayings was, if you don't believe in something, you'll always fall for anything. It's absolutely essential that we constantly compare our own concepts. Listen to me carefully. Our own concepts of God against the reality of the God of His Word and His Spirit. That we don't do that one degree and all little, you know, a little further down the line, and now we're thinking, hold on to foolish nonsense. We can be guilty of worshiping a self-made God if we do that. What's in His Word is in His Word. What's not in His Word is not in His Word. You've heard me say it before. If it's biblical, we're doing it. If it's unbiblical, we're not doing it. If it's abiblical, we'll figure it out as we go along. What I mean by what's abiblical, what is abiblical is just what we did this morning. We came with the notion, we're going to pray, we're going to sing some songs, we're going to preach, and then we're going to do that. We're going to do the kids' grid, and then we're going to do whatever. And then we arrived here and felt the Holy Spirit say, no, we want to do this, this, and that. And change this and do that. That's what we're doing. Last quote, Charles Spurgeon again. When joy and prayer are married, the firstborn child is gratitude. When we take hold of thanksgiving and the byproduct of heaven of joy and we marry them together, we have a gratitude in our heart. Have you ever, you know, when we were kids, with this one I'll be done. When we were kids, we used to get words, and then we'd try and make sense of that word. Did you, any of you ever do that? Like, I remember mud. Mud. What is mud? Mud. What's water and sand. Mud. Now, what mud? What does mud be? And you can drive yourself insane if you're trying to figure out mud. What is mud? That's where I'm going with this thing of having a heart of gratitude. Have you ever tried to express in true words? In English, in Tamil, in French, Italian, in German, whatever language you are, in Patois, extending your gratitude to God. How do you say thank you to God for what He did for us? In the English language, thank you doesn't like cut it. But gratitude is an attitude of the heart. I can show God how thankful I am by living a godly life. I can show God how awesome He is by honoring Him in our time of praise and worship. I can show people around me the goodness of God when I go out and I sow the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When joy and prayer are married, their firstborn child is gratitude. Amen. Amen.